All right, so before you start listening to this next episode, I gotta give you a warning. There will be 34 F words in this specific episode. I know none of the other episodes have it, so I do not want you to be listening all of a sudden and blast with your kids. And so if you're worried about it, this is not the episode for you. This will be some massive, massive tough love from my friend Sean Whalen. This was specifically at the Breakthrough Intensive event. It was a 3-day virtual event, and we ended up having 37 speakers, top speakers from all around the world. And so I figured, you know what? I'm going to take one or two of the presentations from this specific event to give you a sneak peek and some insight so you can be able to listen to it over and over again. But I'm just going to tell you, be prepared. It's some of the toughest love that you will ever hear. But Sean was also voted as the most favorite speaker of the event. So I can't wait for you to tune in and hear this incredible training and presentation.
Welcome to Network Marketing Breakthroughs Podcast with Rob Sperry, where you will hear stories and strategies to help increase sales in your business. Let's level up your network marketing business with your host, Rob Sperry.
All right, I'm going to introduce our next speaker, and we're going to actually go interview style the whole time here. And most of this interview style is just going to be him. So I'm going to ask Sean some questions. First question, how many views do you have? Over a billion, right?
What's up, man?
How many views?
Yeah, just over a billion views.
Just over a billion views.
This is wild. It's so bright.
Your book, have you even told the story on your book how you wrote your book so fast? You sold 100,000 copies. I swear it was in just over a year. I don't know how many copies now.
660,000.
Not bad. 660,000 copies.
Yep.
And he wrote it so fast that he realized after he wrote the book that he didn't have any pages.
We wrote it, and it was funny because we from the time I put the first words down on my laptop to when it was shipping from Amazon was just about 6 weeks. And it was about a week after that I went to Amazon and was looking at the reviews. And there were all these reviews. People were like, dude, this is the greatest book ever. This is such an amazing book. Da, da, da. No page numbers. So I would tell you to go to my book and read something, but I'd be like, it's about 3/4 of the way through, or maybe like the first quarter or something like that.
And now I watched following, and you've created a community.
Yeah.
You've created a culture, and we'll go back and help you guys a little bit. Cause I think with branding, people make it way too complex where they're trying to figure out this perfect brand. And you created a brand by literally just being you, which I know sounds so cliche and so stupid, but honestly, that's exactly what you do. And you just heard, I mean, the guy we just heard, Tom Chenault, makes 7 figures a year. He's 7 years old. And when he started crushing, he just started being crazy blunt, crazy bold, just exactly who he was and owned it. But let's rewind a little bit.
So people are looking for, really. I mean, that's really, who do you follow? You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, we'll go to that. But like, if you think about branding, like Ford spends $2.7 billion a year domestically to put their message in your brain, to get you to buy their car. And we live in a day and age where we have a cell phone and the ability to have free social media where we can talk about whatever we want, build our brand, build our message, talk about the wins, the losses, the failures, the whole thing for free, literally for free. But most people are scared. Like, it's gotta be perfect. It has to be this. There is no such thing as perfect. It's real.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more.
So lions, not sheep. You started out with this motto, this theme that massively caught on. And then from there, you didn't really start focusing on the clothing side till, was it a couple years ago?
Yeah. Last year. Yeah. It started with, I went through and we'll spare the details of the past. And I would love to do Q&A and help people here. But like, if you want to know my story, Google it, read the book, whatever, whatever. But a few years ago, when I went through a divorce and a midlife crisis and a bankruptcy and whatever you want to call that, I was trying to figure out like who I was, like, where did I fit in? You know what I mean? It wasn't like I went through this midlife crisis and okay, now how do I make money? I already figured that out. It was like, why am I even here? Not just here, but like, why am I on earth? Like, what am I doing? Yeah. What is my purpose? It's literally a multi-billion-dollar industry. People spend thousands of dollars and pay therapists and coaches and books and podcasts trying to figure out what their purpose is. Right. And in that process, the words came to me. It just came to me one day, lions, not sheep. And it like was one of those things that, you know, something comes in your brain and you can't get it out. It just bounces around and it's always like snagging. And so I called my buddy who owned a printing company and I said, hey, can you make this into a t-shirt? And I picked out the font and the whole deal. And we just made one t-shirt and it was for me. And it was just like that internal thing that like, I realized that I led most of my life as a sheep. And so one day on social media, somebody saw it and I had it on in the picture and they're like, hey, where do you get that shirt? How do I get that shirt? And this is 5 years ago. And so for 5 years, we just literally did these like one or two a month, people would buy it. And last year we decided to really build the brand and build a clothing line. And it's just, it's absolutely skyrocketing.
I mean, now it's doing over $1 million.
Yeah. Well, right? We went from zero, well, I mean, about $1,000 a month, just organically of people coming in and just buying t-shirts to, we hit our first $1 million month last November. So within 7 months, we were doing $1 million a month.
And when you started it, you said it was going to happen right away.
Yeah. I literally, at the beginning of last year, I was like, I'm going to build this thing into a massive clothing line and brand, you know, and I flat out just wrote $1 million on a board. It was last March. I wrote $1 million on my whiteboard in my office. Had no idea how to build a clothing brand. Had no idea how to do it. My mom was literally screen printing all of our t-shirts. And she'd go down to the post office once a day and put two or three packages in the mail kind of a thing to, you know, now having employees all over and all kinds of stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'm going to rewind a little bit and then we're going to get into a lot of your guys' questions and help you out a ton. So any questions you have, remember, the ability to learn how to learn is the greatest ability one can have. Someone else can do it, you can do it. It may take you a little bit longer, but you can figure out. I think Leonardo da Vinci was the most talented man to walk this earth. The dude could do anything. He was like sculptor, inventor, painter, everything, scientist, everything, because he just figured it out. Someone else can do it. You reverse engineer it. And that's how you do everything. And I see you always constantly talking about that on social media, like, stop making excuses. You can't make money. And I saw one of your posts. It was like, look, just Google this right here and go reverse engineer it and do it. So that's what I want you guys to do right now is be thinking of the questions to ask. But before that, just rewind a little bit. I don't know how long ago it was. I think we first met probably over 15 years ago or so. We're doing it. Maybe it was 20 years ago. We're doing going on his boat. And you got to understand at this time, you guys know my personality, my style is I'm like insanely competitive. Some of you guys know semi-pro tennis player, but I'm quiet about it. Like I'm yelling right now to sound like a normal human being. You talk to me in person, you can't even hear what I'm saying halftime. My wife gets pissed at me. He knows my wife. She's like crazy feisty. And she's just like, I can't hear you. Like speak up. But it's not for lack of ambition. It's just, I'm just chill. That's how I am. On the inside, it's internal. I want to go at it. We got some really good mutual friends. You know, ask Jeremy. Every time we go, we just go. Still it all. So I'm looking up to this guy because he's got all these houses and you got that awesome mansion down in the river woods right past that gate. I thought that was like the Count of Monte Cristo. And we're going on this boat and stuff. And for me, it's like this like dream building of what's possible. And I'm seeing Sean just absolutely smash it. He goes through his divorce and after his divorce, you know, I'd see him at this gym in Orem, the 8th North gym working out. And he's just telling me all these huge goals all the time. He's like, yeah, one day I'm going to run for president. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, I don't know. He's going through different struggles, right? In my mind, I'm just like, oh my goodness, like this guy just thinks like so crazy big, like something's happening. I would borrow confidence and boldness from people like you. Like, you know, Lon's awesome. Yeah. He's crazy. Yep. He's awesome. I would borrow confidence and boldness early on. Fast forward, you guys can read about his story later. He shares his story. I mean, he gets as vulnerable as it gets, suicidal. wants to literally just beat up the new husband of his ex-wife. And now, you see him, how he shares those experiences. For you, right after you shared that, right, that story, and you were very vulnerable, and that post still is going viral. What, right after you did that, did you feel like it was just permission to always do it, or there was no plan, you just did it, it just happened?
So, to back up a little bit, give you the context of this, like I use social media like everybody else, right? I watched little kids falling off skateboards and all the funny videos and whatever, whatever. And so social media was not a thing for me at all. My ex-wife Summer had Facebook a year before I ever even got an account. So it's kind of funny now because I make millions of dollars using social media. But as I went through this divorce and fell, right? How many of you have fallen? I know that we can't see everybody, but how many of you have ever failed? How many of you ever fucked some shit up? Like, how many of you ever, like, we can swear, right? Is this a swearing group? Okay. Whatever. If you don't like it, too bad. Anyways, you know, everybody has fallen. Everybody has failed. And I was in this space where I had come out of this divorce, come out of this bankruptcy, and I was terrified. I was terrified to talk. Like, people would judge, they would laugh, all of this other stuff. You know, I went from kind of the top of the mountain, if you will, to the bottom. And it was humiliating. If you've ever lost money, if you've ever been through a depression, if you've ever struggled, like, you know, it's humiliating. You don't want to talk. You don't want to share with people. You're like, oh, nobody knows how bad this is, right? Like, your story's bad, but mine's worse. No one knows how bad I really feel. And that was me. And so I literally just bottled everything up and I never shared anything. And one of the first challenges after the night that I contemplated killing myself, I had gone through the divorce. I was sitting in this two-bedroom condo that I moved out of this massive house into. My ex-wife was dating this guy, and I had that night where it was like the elephant was like on my chest. You know, you ever had that night where you're like, everything is bad, everything is wrong, I feel like I'm drowning. And I put a gun in my mouth, and I had that night where I just was debating whether or not I should go or whether I should stay. And God had a bigger plan for me. And I woke up the next morning and I reached out to a buddy of mine. I was like, I need help. And I didn't have addictions. I wasn't addicted to drugs or to alcohol or whatever. I didn't know how to not be angry. I was angry. I didn't know who I was angry at. I was angry at God. I was angry at the market. More than anything, I was angry at me. And if you've ever been in a place where you've gone through depression or anything along those lines, you know that it's really difficult to talk to people. And so I bottled everything up. And so as I reached out to my friend who ultimately became one of my coaches, one of the first challenges that he gave me was to start sharing. And I'm like, I don't want to share anything because I'm depressed and I'm dark and I have all of this shit. Like, look at this past that I was like the bull in the china shop. I broke everything there was to break. My relationship, I left a $25 million a year business. I didn't know who the fuck I was. What am I going to share, right? And as I started sharing, it was difficult. And I was totally full of shit at first because it was like, all these people are going to see this, and social media is this world where you don't know. And so you kind of play the game and say, yeah, things are really good, even if they weren't good. And to fast forward to what you were talking about, my divorce was really bad. We ended up picking up and dropping off our kids from a police station for 6 months. That's how bad it was. And with some time and a lot of fucking work, we got to a place where we were civil again, even just talk.
Yeah.
Like, without lawyers or police was like a big deal. And I went to go pick up my kids one day, and we got to a point where like, I would go pick up the kids from her house and she would come pick them up from mine. And I'd kind of wait in the car and honk the horn and the kids would come out. Now, she had remarried. She remarried this guy and they had a baby. And here I was still in this ego state of like, you know, I'm losing, whatever, whatever. And I went to go pick up the kids, and one of my kids came to the door and they're like, you know, Dad, come see the baby. And I'm like, no, come get in the car, you know, and they run off. And then God bless them, my other son comes to the door. He's like, Dad, come see the baby. Come see mom's new baby. And I'm like, no, get in the fucking car. We got to go. I hadn't seen my ex-wife. Like, we hadn't met face to face in almost 2 years. And so my daughter comes to the door, and my ex-wife was behind her, and she's like, yeah, it's okay. Come in. And I'm like, all right, I'll be right in. And I'm like sweating, and I roll the window up. I'm like, fuck, I can't do this. Like, what do I say? What do I do? You know, and everything's like playing in your mind of like all of the pain and all of the frustration and all this other stuff. Anyways, I ended up going to the house, and my kids are amazing. Kids are fucking awesome. Absolutely awesome. My daughter goes over and grabs the baby from my ex-wife. I'm like sitting in the couch in their living room, and it's like, oh, this is big enough. Runs over and hands me the baby and says, Daddy, hold the baby. And I'm like, fuck, this is too much. What do I do? And so I grabbed the baby. I'm holding the baby, and I ended up taking a little selfie with their brand new baby. And that night, as my kids were going to bed, I wrote a post on Facebook. I posted a picture of the baby, me holding the baby. And I told the story, and I told about how dark I was of a place I was in, how depressed I was, how suicidal I was. And more than anything, I talked about how big I fucked up, and I owned everything. And it was funny because people asked, like, what made that post go viral? And it was truly the first time that I ever told the truth. Like, I put it all out there. I blamed no one.
Yeah.
Like what we do in situations when we fall, it's like, well, I fell, but it was because, or I was an asshole, but it was because she was a bitch, or I said this, but, or the market did this, but, and we always have somebody to blame. And it was the first time in my life that I just owned it all. And I was like, yeah, I was a dick. I said things I shouldn't have said. I was in pain. I was in darkness. I didn't know what to do. And so I lashed out in anger. And I woke up the next morning, and to make a long story short, that post ended up reaching tens of millions of people all over the world, like literally millions and millions and millions of comments. It still is just exploding with growth 8 years later. And what's interesting, and to answer your question, and I wanted to preface this because I know that everybody listening to this has a past. Some are proud of it. Some aren't proud of it. There's moments that you're not proud of. There's moments that you are proud of. But what I realized is two things. It was weird though, because everybody's messaging me like, dude, you got to figure it out. This is amazing. And I'm like, yo, I'm not Dr. Phil. Don't tell me about your problems. I don't know how to help you. Like, I just told the truth. Like, people were like, hey, can you help me? My husband and I, my wife and I, and I'm like, yo, call Dr. Phil or somebody else, because that's not my jam. But what I learned is this. Two things happened after I shared the truth. And this is very, very, very important, very relevant to any of you that are business builders, that are entrepreneurs, they want to grow and use social media, because it's one of the most, if not the most powerful tool that you have, period. End of story. Reality TV is massive for a reason, because we get more raw than we do scripted. And if you think about it, like, people are attracted to that. They're attracted to my messages, not because I say potty words or this or that or the other, but it's like, it's raw. It's real. And what I realized after that post went viral is two things. Number one, that millions and millions and millions of people resonated with me. But what's fascinating is they resonated with the darkness. This wasn't like the filtered picture and the great Disneyland story and the win. It was me literally pouring my soul out of how dark I was, how depressed I was. I told the truth. It was the first time that I had told the truth. And I'm scratching my head going, why the fuck would this go viral? This was like dark. This is a man talking about his depression, about his fears, about his anger. And I realized, like, holy shit, millions and millions and millions of people resonated with it, because they too have experienced that, or they too are there. And I mean, selling 101, business 101, what Ford's trying to do, Pepsi, Coke, all of these brands, they're trying to emotionally connect with you. Right. I mean, that's what you see, the little bears every Christmas with Coca-Cola sliding down the things. You're like, oh my God, the bears are so cute. I should go buy a Coke right now. Right. That's literally what marketing and business 101 is can I seduce myself and get my message to you, to where you either think about me, you remember me, or you buy from me. And so it was like, dude, millions of people resonated with the darkness and with the pain and with the frustration. And I truly believe it's because most all of us have experienced that. And once you create that vulnerability, it's like, wow, like, I vibe with this guy. Most dudes are just pounding their chest, running the ego game, right? And the second thing that I realized that's probably been the most powerful for me, that's helped me truly reach tens of millions of people, is that I felt better. Like, as I look back, I realized that telling the truth was scary, it was intimidating, it was ridiculously vulnerable, but I felt better. Like, here I was trying to run through life with all of these rocks in my backpack. And basically, I just cut the straps and said, fuck it. This is who I am. This is what I am. I do have fear. I do have ego. I do have pride. I do have resentment. I struggle with all of these things. And I realized, like, as I poured these things out to the universe, to the world, to this blank slate called social media, I felt better. I didn't hide from anything. I didn't have anything to hide from. I was radically vulnerable and radically open. And I was like, okay, well, if the process to connecting with millions and millions and millions of people is sharing my truth, and sharing my truth is what's helping me literally become more free and to feel better, I'm just going to keep doing that. And so literally for the last 6, 7, 8 years, I have just made it, I've used social media almost as a therapist, where I just share everything. I share my ups, I share the downs, I share the fears, I share the darkness, I share the light, and literally have over 1 billion views of my videos. I've been on every single news channel you can imagine, from Fox to ABC, NBC, CNN. I've built a multi-million dollar coaching company. I've built multiple businesses around using social media organically, and have never spent a dollar in marketing. never spent a dollar in ads besides the clothing company on building literally a $5 million a year coaching company. And you think about how and why, it's because people resonate with us. They resonate with truth. Who do you want to do business with? You want to do business with people that you trust. You want to do business with people that you like. And if I can connect with you on real shit, you'll do business with me. If I'm struggling and I know that you struggle, but you happen to have something that can help me get to the other side of that, I'll pay you for that service or that product or whatever it is. And so literally I've spent the last however many years just making it my mission to just continue to share my truth, continue to share that vulnerability. And what's fascinating is the more you do it, what happens? The more you lift the weights, do the weights get lighter? No, you get stronger. 45 pounds will always be 45 pounds. You just get stronger. So the more vulnerable you are, the more you share, the more you open up, the better you get at that. And now I'm married to like the perfect freaking person. My kids are healthy. My businesses are exploding. And here we are talking to millions of people around
all over the world, right? You know, it's funny to see how things go viral. I started my podcast 2 years ago. Now it's been listened to by 118 countries. And when I started it was just to start it because I thought I was supposed to and wanted to get the message out. And it was the more real and more vulnerable and people I share all the time of all the weaknesses and struggles. But what's interesting, I look back is the first 7 figures I made, I just shared with everybody. I didn't make one post pertaining to anything business-wise for 5 years on social media because I was so worried what everybody thought.
100%.
I didn't truly connect with people. And those of you that have heard me in a live event, I share this about my little brother. My little brother died when I was 16 years old. We were in a car accident. He was 10 years old. Long story short, I'm not going to go into it. My dad asked me if I wanted to drive. I said no. And it was 2 a.m., an hour and a half later, and he ended up falling asleep. Car crashes. All of us are in the car. Obviously, I survived and my little brother passed away. I didn't share this because honestly, I know this sounds so stupid. I was scared of crying on stage. That sounds ridiculous, right? And you guys have seen me get emotional already starting this, but I was a guy that after my little brother passed away, there was only once that my wife had seen me cry at all. Like I suppressed everything because I just felt like, no, I'm too tough. I'm too macho. I'm not going to share this. When in reality, it's the complete opposite.
Yep.
Complete 100% opposite. So going along with that, we talked about this actually at R&R of the mother of all fears is the fear of judgment, right? Remove people. You don't have the fear of success. You don't have the fear of failure. You don't have the fear of the unknown. You don't have fear of missing out. All these fears are just, they're just gone. Right. Fear of heights is still there for me, but, right?
You'll jump off something high and you won't have that fear anymore.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. People think, we asked a question. I wish we were in front of everybody so that we could see their hands, but how many people have failed?
Right? Drop in the comments. Like tell
how
us
how many people have failed, right? I see a couple of faces right here. Everyone has, but if we were having a conversation about building a business or growing or scaling or anything like that, people are like, I have a fear of failing. I fear failing. This is what a lot of people say. And the truth is like, no one's afraid of failing because you've done it so many times. And if you're like me, like raise both hands, you're like, I've failed a lot of times. I've done a lot of things wrong. Everybody has literally become a master at failing. But what we're terrified of is being judged. And so when you think about it, like you're not afraid to fail because you've already done it before. Maybe you've lost a marriage. Maybe you've lost, money, whatever it is. You've failed many, 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 many times. You're not afraid of that. You're afraid that if something doesn't go right or go perfect, that people will make fun of you. Well, it's really fascinating. You just touched on this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, you're going to be judged. Period. It's just the nature of the beast. It's where we are. If you're poor, it's because you're lazy and undisciplined. Somebody's going to judge you for being poor. If you're rich, you've got to be a snake oil salesman. You're totally ripping people off because you drive a Lamborghini. You're a crook, right? Well, if you're fat, it's because you're lazy, you're undisciplined, and you're gross. But if you're ripped and if you're in great shape, like me, you've got to be taking drugs. You're for sure on steroids taking drugs. So literally, no matter what I do or where I go, wherever you go, you're going to be judged by somebody. And all of a sudden I started realizing that as I've shared my story over and over again, I'm like, well, shit, if that's the case, then why don't I just do the shit that I really want to do? Say what I really want to say, be who I really want to be. And everybody can fuck off because you're going to judge me either way. Right. Once you get that through your head and you realize that, you eliminate fear by just going and creating action, knowing that if I take a picture with my shirt off, there's going to be a group of people that say I'm an idiot and a group of people that say that's great. If I'm buy a Lamborghini, people are going to say that's freaking amazing and phenomenal and awesome. And people are going to say I'm a piece of shit. But at the end of the day, like, I'm the most happy doing the things I want to do, saying what I want to say, being who I want to be, knowing that regardless, I'm going to be judged. It's the most liberating, freeing thing that you can like take on and truly like become an exemplar of is being you.
It's just crazy when you think of it that way. Like, we are masters of failure. We go through
We've all done it. We've failed so many times, man. Like, and like when you really, I'm still going to fuck things up. I'm going to screw up so many things in my life. It's not even funny, but I learn from them all. I learn. And that's how you have to really differentiate and move forward in life is realizing, okay, cool. You lost millions of dollars. Did you learn something? And if you learn something, how's that a failure? People ask me all the time, like, what do you deal with failure? I don't believe that I've ever actually failed. I don't think I've ever failed. Why? Because every single experience that I've had, I've learned something from. Going through losing $12 million when the market crashed, I learned more than every Ivy League school combined could have taught me about economics. Going through a divorce, I learned more about myself and love and connection and compassion than I would have learned from 10,000 therapists. So have I failed? No. I've learned. I've learned at some pretty painful experiences. I've learned through a lot of trying things, but I've learned. And if you're learning, like, isn't that the entire game that we're playing?
Yeah.
To get better, to get stronger, to learn. So I'm not one that advocates go screw up and go fail, but I am an advocate of action. And knowing that you go out and create action, you're going to have a result at times. Look at Michael Jordan. One of the best to ever play the game. Yep. He's missed more shots than anyone else ever to play the game of basketball. He's missed more shots than anybody to ever play the game. Yet he's the best basketball player of all time. What does that look like? What does that mean? Right? Like, you're going to get no's. You're going to get a lot of no's. But the more no's you get, the more yes's you get. You can't get the yes's without the no's. You know what I mean? We could talk about this for hours, but it's a fascinating concept for people to really wrap their head around and realize, no matter what I do, I'm going to be judged. And if that's the case, then why not just do the things that bring me the most joy, that bring me the most happiness?
So going along with that, we talk a ton about action, and a lot of people like, I know, like, most of the time it's not, people know exactly what they need to do. They don't do it. One of the other things that I like, because you're going to find this even more and more. You already know this about me, but I'm an insane observer.
Mm-hmm.
So 4th of July, right? There's Jimmy Rex's fireworks show.
Right.
Okay. At the fireworks show, you know, Jeremy's there. So, you know, you didn't know I was going to be there. I didn't know you were going to be there. Right. You're over on the side there. I'm here. You know, Jeremy's over there in between us. There's one thing that I noticed, though. I'm looking around, like, all the friends, just kind of, you know, you're just enjoying the moment, like, what's going on. This is a social media guru. You didn't check your phone once. You didn't know I noticed that. He didn't check his phone once the entire time. So when we talk about things like time management, a lot of times I think people misinterpret that. So obviously, you can't really manage time. There's only so much, but how you utilize it. And they just don't get it. And they think they're always working when most of the time they're actually not even really working. They're doing like a small percent of the small percent. And they don't understand what focus is. So give us, I don't know, give us a little bit of that, whatever you want to call it, time management and how you do and how you operate, because you have a good balance. If you're out on your ranch, you bought your ranch, right? You're always hanging out, you're racing at the same time, you're working hard, you're creating leverage, you're enjoying your family. So yeah, it's impossible to be balanced. You figure out where you're the most out of balance and live.
Balance doesn't exist. It's a myth. It's a total lie.
And you got to obsess in the extremes to become great. But what I like to say is you figure out where you're the most out of balance, lift up from the bottom, and then you figure out where your emphasis and focus is. But tell us, like, successful person like you, like, go in depth on this.
Yeah. How do you have so many companies? I have 5 kids and an ex-wife and a new marriage and multiple businesses and employees and a ranch and dogs and horses and the whole thing. How do you do it all? First of all, balance is a lie. It's a myth. It doesn't exist. There will never be a part in your life where it's just this flat line. Everything's great. My body's great. My relationship's great. My money's great. Everything's great. It doesn't exist. And so I think if you get that out of your mind, it's somehow I need to create balance, right? There's this need, like, I've got to create more balance. We hire people for that. We read books for that. Like, somebody help me find balance. It doesn't exist. But what does exist is the ability that we have to create very, very, very specific outcomes. Okay. Give you an example. When I'm on date night, like that time frame that I'm with my wife is date night. If my company was physically burning to the ground, if the building was on fire, what is it that I could do while I'm on date night? Somebody's already called 911. When you really think about it from that perspective, right? Me being plugged into my business 24/7, 365, what good does that do? What good do I do there? I don't. And so what I found in being a CEO and having hundreds of employees 20 years ago, where I would work 20-hour days and they'd come home and be like, dude, I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. Like, what'd you do? I'm like, the day was just a blur. How many of you have experienced this? The day was just this blur. I'm so tired and I worked my ass off today. But when you're like, what did I get done? You're like, well, I emailed Sally back and I went to lunch with Bob and then I don't know. And you're like, okay, so you did like 30 minutes worth of work, but you're exhausted and you had a busy day, right? This is where most people are. This is where most entrepreneurs are. And what I realized is that I was the guy who always had the revolving door, who was taking every call, answering every email, talking to every person, every text message. How many of you do this? Like probably a vast majority of people. And I started thinking to myself, like, if I go hunting, I'm a big hunter. I love hunting, right? If you go hunting and you're shooting at a target, let's just pretend the deer is your target, whether it's a business target, whether it's a physical target, you know, I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to create a deeper relationship with my husband or my wife, whatever these targets are, right? I want to make $1 million. If I go hunt with a shotgun and the shotgun shoots out tons of different BBs, right? And go bird hunting, tons of BBs. I could shoot 500 times at that deer 200 yards away and I'll never hit it. And that's what we mostly do. We get up, we have our coffee. We're like, bang, 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 shooting everything we can throughout the day. I got that done. And I answered this person. And look at all these things I got done.
A checklist.
But I never hit the fucking target. And so I realized that that's where I spent most of my life. Just I get up. It's like, I'm ready for the day. We get ready for our day. And then it's like, we're just trying to avoid everything coming at us, like figuring out a way to go over here and do over there. And at the end of the day, we're fucking exhausted. And we have terrible results that way. And so I was like, well, if I want to go hunt, the simplest thing for me to do is to pick up a hunting rifle. I can shoot at that deer and hit it one time and kill it. And then I'm good. And so I started looking at all of my actions the exact same way. What women, and I don't know what the ratio of men to women is here, but women aren't looking for a 9-hour date night every day, are you, ladies? No, because we drive you fucking crazy. You're like, get out of here. We don't want to see you that much.
They're like,
but what they do want is when we're on date night, we're on date night. There isn't anything else there, right? And I started realizing, like, if I'm in a meeting, like I'm here with you, I don't know what the hell's going on. We could be dealing with fucking World War 97. I have no clue. I don't really give a shit because I'm right here, right? And so as you start looking at what you do and how you execute, everything from your workouts to your relationship, to your business, to your children. How many times have you been to the gym and you walk into the gym and you see the dude who's got the talent, he throws it over his shoulders. He's like, all right, well, what do you want to do? Well, you want to go do some arms, you do some legs? How effective do you think his workout is? When I walk into the gym, I know what body part I'm training, how many reps I'm doing, how many sets I'm doing, and I'm done. And I'm in and out of the gym and I'm in fucking phenomenal shape in 45 minutes. How do you do that in 45 minutes? Because when I go in, I'm a sniper. When I'm on date night, I'm a sniper. I'm there to connect with my woman. When I'm doing business, I get more done in 2 hours a day than most people do in 10. Why? Because when I sit down to do my work, whatever it is, whether it's emailing or calling or following up or building a new program, whatever it is, literally nothing comes in my space but that. And so when you stop and think about it, if you put 1 hour of work in with no distractions, no social media, no kids, no phones, no anything, how much more could you get done? And all of a sudden I stepped back and I was like, well, shit, I spent most of my life just getting up, working, not really knowing what I was doing. And literally I kind of burned my world to the ground and came back into the game. I was like, that's not a good business model. I wasn't healthy. I wasn't happy. It didn't make me a lot of money. And right now I work 2 hours a day and make more money than I've ever made working 2 hours a day. And you said something really important earlier, which is people hear that and they're like, Sean, it's not possible. Really? Because I'm doing it. We say it's impossible until somebody does it. It was impossible to break the 4-minute mile until somebody did it. And then what happened? Everyone. Fuck, tons of people did it. And so there's this idea that it's impossible. I have five kids. How many of y'all have kids? I got five kids ranging from 18 to 9. I got football and soccer and all of the shit. I've got all of the same things you do. I have bills. I have houses. I have dogs that shit on the carpet. I have a marriage and a wife. I have multiple companies and multiple employees. And so I have the ability to make an excuse and be like, oh, I just have all these things. How is it that I'm able to accomplish so much? It's because when I'm with my wife, I'm with my wife and that's it. And if the building really was on fire, I have people employed that are smart enough to call 911. You understand what I'm saying? And when I'm doing my business, I'm so laser focused on that, that nothing gets in the way. I don't need to spend every day with my children 10 hours a day. When I have daddy-daughter date, that's all that exists, man. When I'm with my boys, that's all that exists. When I'm at the gym, there's a reason I have headphones in, because I don't want you to talk to me. Is that being rude? Is that being a dick? No, that's me valuing my time above anything else. We all have the exact same amount of time. How we invest in it, how we use it is radically different. So what I would suggest for you guys, and just to add a little bit of value, number one, I talk about this in my book. My book's like $4 on Amazon. Go buy it. How to Make Shit Happen is the name of my book. But I talk about in there how I run a program called Core Four, and that literally every single thing in my life fits in one of four categories: power, which is my body; passion, my relationships; purpose, which is your mind and your mindset and your spirituality; and production, which is your business. Tell me something that can happen in my life that's outside of one of those four things. There's nothing that exists, right? Everything has to do with my body, has to do with my relationships, whether it's a relationship with a checkout person at the store, a potential client or current client; my mindset, which is, what am I putting into my brain? Like, am I putting in seeds that are growing good fruit? Am I investing in myself? Am I taking care of myself? And then my business. And so what I make a point of every single day is when I get up, I have an exact map to every target that I want to hit that day for all four of these areas. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't wonder what I'm going to do at the gym. I know today was legs and arms. Tomorrow's Thursday, it's chest. Like, I know exactly what I'm doing, and I have a map every day to the targets that I want to hit. And so when you think about it, instead of waking up going, fuck, I got to build a website. What if you woke up and Monday was the homepage, Tuesday was the testimonial page, Wednesday was the product page, Thursday was the about page, Friday was the order form page? How much easier is it to build a website when you have a plan every single day of what to do? And here's what's dope about this. Anything, this is what people struggle with. This is the hardest part. Anything that comes into your space that's not getting you where you're going, it's not about building the homepage, off the deck. But Sean, I got all of these clients and I have all of these things and I have all of this, all of the, I don't fucking care. What is your target today? You could come up to me at the gym and tell me, want to tell me your life story. I love you and I appreciate you as a human being and I'll give you a hug, but fuck off. I'm here to work out. I'm not here to accept your story. And this is what a lot of people struggle with. You feel like you have to take all the calls. You have to respond to all the messages. You have to respond to all the emails. You don't. It's a choice. It's 100% a choice. Which do you value more, your time or appeasing other people? I get messages every single day from people saying, Sean, can I pick your brain? Can I call you? No, you can't. If I let every person who wants to pick my brain every day pick my brain, I'd spend 8 hours a day talking to people that would likely never do anything with what I said. They're just there to waste my time. And many of you deal with this in business. Like, you got to think about this for 2 seconds. Like, I have today and my time. That's it. If I let every single person grab it, push it, manipulate it, tell me what to do with it, tell me where to be, I never get anything done. And so literally, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I run multiple 7-figure companies and 1 8-figure company. And I work 2 hours a day because when I'm dialed in, it's bang, 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 execute, 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 execute. And then I move on to the next thing. And then I move on to the next thing. And then the next thing. And I specifically leave hours of my day open to do nothing for me, to go sit on my back deck and just pray and to think. I'll sit in there, smoke a cigar, and I have an hour a day where I'll just sit there and listen. We talk to God, but how often are we listening, right? And so understand that, like, you're responsible for you. If you want to help the poor and the needy, don't be poor and needy. If you want to be able to, like, help your family and you can't help yourself, how the hell do you do that? There's nothing more important than we'll do every single day. And I teach my clients this. We talk about this all the time, in valuing and respecting your time above everything else. It's the most valuable thing we have because you can't get it back. You can make billions of dollars, and guess what? You can't buy back last week's date night. You can't buy back coaching your kid's team. You can't buy back going to your daughter's recitals. You could have $1 billion. You can't go back and buy time. And so I'd have you guys consider for a second that the most valuable thing you could take from just this part of this conversation is understanding, like, when I wake up tomorrow, if I have a map, how much easier is it to execute when you have a map, right? If I say, let's drive to the beach, and we just jump in my car and start driving, it's the middle of the night. We don't know what direction we're going. Maybe we hit the beach. Maybe we don't. We might hit a beach, but how much more effective is it for us to say, let's go to Laguna Beach, type it in the freaking GPS and drive straight to Laguna Beach. Same thing with your money. Same thing with your mindset. Same thing with your body. Same thing with your relationships.
So last time that we saw each other in person, 2 weeks ago, where were we?
Hell, I don't even remember what happened. I don't even remember breakfast.
Two weeks ago.
Where were we?
You were at Lone Peak.
Oh, yeah.
Football game. You're watching
your son. You're playing tennis.
I'm coaching my daughter.
Tennis, yeah.
Tennis. How long did we talk?
2 minutes.
2 minutes max.
We were in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But you were taking a leak and I was taking a leak. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, oh, tennis and football. I'm like, yeah. My son's playing PC.
My point is, guess what? Both of us, the priority was, is he's watching his kid. I'm watching my kid, right? Mm-hmm. We're just like, no, this is like exact. Like, yeah. Didn't see each other after anything. If we would have saw each other, then fine, great. But yeah. It's like, no, like, this is the most important thing why we were both there.
This is a major struggle for people. And I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, this is really, I have found in coaching literally thousands of people that this is a massive struggle for people because you feel like if I don't talk to this person, they're going to think I'm a dick.
Yeah.
They're going to call me something, or I feel like I'm obligated to because you're part of my business, or I'm obligated to because of this. And I'd have you consider that's completely wrong. If you expect people to value their time, let's just say that work for you, and you don't value your time, how does that work? If you want your kids to feel your love, but while you're together with them, you're loving your business and loving on your employees and loving on all these other things, don't be surprised that your kid never feels that love. If you're out on date night and all you're doing is this thing here with the freaking plastic in your hand, don't be surprised why you're getting divorced. If you seem to be on this roller coaster of up and down and up and down with your business and your income, don't be surprised when you wake up every day going, well, what are we going to do today? Let's make some sales calls. I don't know. Do you want to make sales calls, or maybe we should go put flyers on people's cars? If you don't have an exact map to an exact destination, what are you doing? How are you going to get there?
People confuse being busy with being productive. Yep. Being busy these days is a way of people filling their own insecurities, their own ego. There's healthy ego and unhealthy ego. They're negative, unhealthy part of themselves where they feel like, oh my gosh, I'm building my confidence. Like, this is so great and so incredible. And the problem with that is it just never ends. It right. never, ever ends. And that's a huge struggle these days for all of you. And so we're giving you permission because I know in network marketing specifically, there's 80% are comprised of women. And all the time they're like, I feel guilty because I'm working every second when I'm at my kid's soccer game and different things like that. So this year, I told you just briefly, we're in the restroom. I decided I'm coaching my kid's tennis team. So the Sky Ridge, I'm coaching the guys and the girls, you know, it's a beast, like 25 hours a week for five yep. months of the year. I also decided back in December, which in part when we were masterminding and we were at Woody's house, like 3 or 4 years ago, you were telling me, it's like, I work at 2 hours a day. I'm like, geez, like how, like my mind was blown again. I'm like, okay, okay. So this year I said, max, I'm going to work is 25 hours a week maximum. Mm-hmm. And so it's like dialed down, and people are like, how? And I said, no, let's add to it. I'm going to double my income, which I'm on pace for yep. 2.5 times in my income. And I'm working 25 hours a week because I'm not going to confuse being busy with being productive. 100%. I'm going to be a sniper. I'm going to figure out what are the most important things. I'm going to get those things done. And the rest of stuff probably isn't that important. It'll fill in the gaps and I'll get it done when I need to. But now I know exactly what I want to do, when I need to do it. I plan out, like, they think I'm crazy on the tennis team because I'm like, hey, when's that St. George trip or whatever? Like, why? Because I'm planning out family vacations and other yeah. type stuff as we're yeah. going already and getting ahead. And I'm like, my business can work around all the tennis schedule and everything else that we're doing because I know what's important and I know what truly makes me happy. So yeah. that's important. And I know you do this with your personal coaching clients. Oh, yeah. I mean, you told me this years ago, like, you'd sit down and you'd spend a whole day and you would ask them what? You would say,
What do you want?
What do you want?
It's one of the hardest questions for human beings to answer. I've asked millionaires this question. I've asked billionaires this question. And it's truly, in my opinion, but write this down. It's what do you want? And what's fascinating is how few people can answer that question. We're really, really simple. Like we fire off answers that are easy, right? Like, well, I want more time. What does that mean? Right? What do you want? Well, I want more money. Fantastic. What does that mean? Right? I can help you build a map from 100,000 to 500,000 very easily. It's just ones and twos. It's just a map. But I can't help you build from 100,000 to more money. I can't help you build from a better marriage. What exactly does that mean? And so when you sit down and you're planning this out, like how do I create a 25-hour work week? Well, this is exactly how I do it. When I'm working, I'm working. When I'm not, I'm not. And you're talking network marketing and the entire thing, but do you guys want, this is a rhetorical question, needy people in your organization? The answer is no, then you can't be needy. You understand this? If you want killers in your organization, you've got to be a killer. If you want to sell a product of health and wellness and you're 150 pounds overweight, good fucking luck. If you want good people, then you must rise to that and lead. Because I promise you, like, you can sell and you can pitch all day long. If you're not living it, if you're showing up in a place of chaos, don't be surprised why you're attracting chaos. How do I find all the good people? How do I find killers? If you're not a killer, you're not going to be around them. They're not going to be around you. Because who do you hang out with? You hang out with successful people. Yep. Who do you hang out? It's real talk. Like, people don't like to hear this. They don't want to hear this. And this might hurt some of y'all's feelings, but perhaps that's exactly why you need to hear this. If you're fat selling a health and wellness product, you need to check your shit and become health and wellness. If you're broke peddling the idea of wealth, what? You rolled up in your Honda Accord to talk to me about how much money I can make. How does that work? If you're not literally living this example and being structure, being concise, being clear, don't be surprised why you keep putting into your organizations a bunch of freaking needy assholes that don't do anything. You absolutely, without question, must live it, must breathe it, must eat it, must sleep it in order to be able to attract those people into your game, period.
So what would you say? Let's say I'm going through this transition and I'm broke, but I'm also talking about what I want to become. Mm-hmm. Would that person just sell the flat out truth of, look, this is exactly where I'm at. I'm sick and tired of being broke. This is exactly where I want to be at in 3 or 4 years, and then follow with some sort of commitment. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I got incredibly successful mentors. I haven't done it yet, but this is what I'm going to do. How would you transition, right? Because you're not there yet. You want to get there. What would your transition be?
Shine the light from where you are. Shine the light from where you are. There's so much power in truth and vulnerability, right? If you came to me and said, look, I don't have a ton of business experience, but here's what I do have. Here's what I do bring to the table. Play off what you're strongest at. Play off what you're best at, right? Don't lie. We could smell in the business world a lie from 10,000 miles away. And if you're lying, guess who you attract? Liars. So be real. Be honest with where you are. If this is like the only thing happening in your world, maybe you need to create something else on the side to be able to create some sort of stability. So then you can go out and freaking pitch and you can go out and sell. And again, this is a really hard lesson for a lot of people to learn and especially to hear. But at the end of the day, you have to. If you look at really, really, really successful people, success leaves clues, does it not? Look at successful people. Look at what they do. Look at how they do it. They don't do it the same as people that are broke or people that are miserable. And so you have to understand, like, I have to handle me first. I've got to get me right first. I had to get my life moving in a direction from the meagerest, like, habit, from the meagerest habit every single day and creating consistency there. What you need to understand, and if you want to be successful, this is the rule. Yeah. Like I said this earlier, 45 pounds will always be 45 pounds. No matter what gym you go to in the world, that plate will always be 45 pounds. But how does it get lighter? It gets lighter because you become stronger. If you want to get better at something, you have to create daily habits and daily rituals around a specific action. If you suck at getting in shape, then your number one priority needs to be getting in shape. And that's your only fucking priority. But here's what happens. As you start seeing success there, guess what else? It starts feeding every other area of your life. As you start looking better, you want to take your clothes off more. You want to take your clothes off more, you have more sex. You have more sex, your relationship's better. You gain a little bit of mojo after having some morning sex. You want to go make some phone calls, and then you're fired up. And it's this habit circle. It's true. It's true, right?
Oh, it's 100%.
When's the best time to make a sale? After a sale. It's how this game is played, but we're just in this start and stop and start and stop and start and stop and start and stop mode instead of taking little bites. I mean, I talk about in my book, how you eat the elephant. Yeah. Everybody wants to eat the elephant. Everybody wants the big giant prize. You want the big award. You want to be the big swinging ding dong at the conference or whatever it is, right? How do you eat the elephant? You put an elephant in front of me and you put an elephant in front of Rob, and Rob spends 6 months trying to eat the entire thing while I'm just sitting there with my knife and fork. It isn't sexy. It isn't like some glamorous deal. I'm just sitting there eating and eating and eating and eating. And before you know it, 3 months into it, I've eaten my elephant and he's still trying to figure out how to eat the entire fucking elephant. Like, if you're out of shape, you're not going to go and set a goal of I need to lose 100 pounds. My goal is to literally get my ass up off the couch today and just get to the gym and get on a treadmill for 10 minutes and then do it again tomorrow. And then the next day, and then the next day. And as you start chipping away at these small little habits, they create bigger habits. But that's hard because you see people balling and doing really well. And I got to go do all that. But what you didn't see is what it took behind the scenes. And so, like, today's day one. Literally today can be day one. And you can set your $1 million plan. But if at the end of the day, you're struggling to pay your rent, why don't you make a plan to make $100 today? And then tomorrow make another 100. And then the next day make another 100. And then another 100. And guess what happens? Before you know it, you actually have some cash in the bank. And you're like, well, shit. Let's up it to 200. And before you know it, now you're at $1 million. But so long as you're focused on the big prize, the big deal, you're always going to fucking lose. You will always have setbacks that will take you all the way back to the beginning. And anybody that's been in MLM space that's not at the top tier knows that. That's exactly how it works. You get the one big prospect and the one big thing, and you're massaging them and working them, and all of a sudden they just disappear. And you're like, shit, I'm going to lose it all. I hate this thing. But what would happen if you just found one person every day? Did one thing with a habit every single day. You got up at a certain time, you made your bed, you worked out, you made some calls, you texted your lover, whatever it ends up being, you do these things and they become habitual, and habitual turns into big results.
Love it. So we actually, it's funny you talk about this now, because Sean didn't know, he hasn't heard any of the presentations before. We went through a whole thing on Keystone Habits. Mm-hmm. And then we stopped because we had the next speaker coming on. So you don't know this. Some of you know this. A couple of you know this. Those have been my mastermind know this. In the last 14 years, I've missed going to the gym an entire week 0 times. This is me traveling all over the world to 20 plus countries. I have missed reading personal development 0 times. Are there days where I only read a paragraph? Yes, but I'm going to keep that streak going. I'm going to keep that Keystone habit going, that minimum. Saying some sort of prayers or meditation, some sort of spiritual reading. I have read spiritual reading once in the last 14 years. Still pissed that I missed that day.
But terrible.
Terrible. I know, right? Like the other, I got it. Meditation or prayers. Have not missed. When I'm in town, date night, every single week, and actually it's a lot more than once. Usually ends up being, hey kids, we love you to death, but we've been dealing with you all day. Mom and dad are going to dinner. And it's like 7 o'clock. Like, you guys go like 3 times a week. We're like, yep, we're just trying to set the example for all of you. We spend so much time with you as you go. But I think it's important people understand that, because like you said, all of a sudden it breeds this confidence. And as well, how are you supposed to expect someone else to trust you when you don't even trust yourself? You say you're going to wake up at 6:30 and you've never woken up at 6:30. You say you're going to start working out. You can't even stick to it. You say, I'm going to start eating better, and you can't even eat better. How are you supposed to look other people in the eyes and say, you know, come follow me to the promised land. We're going to crush this business, right? Or come take these products here, when you don't even trust yourself. And some of you are like, that's brutal. Well, it's brutal because the only way we can help you is to give you tough love. And so like Sean said, it's brutal, but guess what? It's not. We're not shaming you. It's start all over. It's day one right now. We're giving you hope. And we're giving you a map, as Sean talked about, to help you to go to the next level. So someone says, Sean, you know, look, I get it. Like, I get it. I know it's stupid. I shouldn't be scared. I get it. It's the mother of all fears, the fear of judgment. And it bugs me. And I know I should take action, but how do I get over these fears? I know I'm supposed to, but I can't.
Action, action. That's it. Action. Simple as that. It's action. Like I, you stand at the top of the cliff. You've been to Lake Powell over. You could stand there all day long. The only way to overcome the fear is to jump off the cliff. Period. End of story. Action is the differentiating factor between very, very, very successful people and people that are not. That is it. Period. I grew up in a single parent home. I don't have any rich family. There's no silver spoon near my mouth. And I run multiple multi-million dollar companies. I drove up here in a $250,000 Lamborghini that I paid for. Nobody paid for that shit. Like, I created this deal. You have to create this deal. When you're scared, you have to act. You have to act. That is the single biggest thing. The act of getting up out of bed when you say you will is the biggest thing you can do. It sets the tone for everything else. If you want to be successful in business and have people that follow through, you have to follow through. If you want people to follow you, you have to be the leader. You have to be showing them how it's done, how to get your life in order, how to get your life in check. There's no other way. I wish there was some magic pill. Maybe we should start a magic pill. Here's the success pill. Everybody would fucking buy it. We'd make millions of dollars. We'd make billions of dollars. But you know what? It would be a complete scam and ripoff. The single biggest thing you can do is take action. There is no substitute for action. You can read every fitness book on the planet. You can take every pill known to man until you get your ass up off the couch and go to a place where you sweat. You will always be fat. Okay? If this hurts right now, let me let you know a little secret. If this stings right now, good. Good. Perhaps you don't need any more fucking hugs and anymore. It's okay to your pity story. Perhaps you need to get punched in the face. Perhaps you need to get punched in the face and woken the fuck up, because who else is going to do it? It's your turn. Like, I hear Tony Robbins talking about this all the time. He's like, dude, you don't need more hugs. You don't need more high fives. The fact you're broke should motivate you enough. The fact that you're fat and embarrassed to take your clothes off at the pool should motivate you enough. The fact you're not fucking the way you want to be fucking in your marriage should motivate you enough. Nothing he says or I say is going to do that. You need to motivate yourself. And the next thing you do, take action. Literally, there is nothing that will change your life more than action. Period.
Love it. So simple. You can't think about it, right? We talked a little bit about it, but it's like, someone can't become a professional pianist because they watch like 1,000 YouTube videos and now I'm going to be so good, right?
What happened?
You can't. And it's one of those things, like, you just can't become great until you actually do it. And you change that perception of failure, as Sean talked about it, where it's just learn as you go. I told you, I started out, fear of public speaking was the greatest fear that I could possibly have. First time I spoke, it was 8 or 9 months, 10 months into the profession. I was so awful. I was so bad. Thought I'm never doing this again. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it. Even if I'm bad, I'm just going to keep getting a little bit better. And I just changed the perception of, you know what? I'm crazy competitive. Yep. And the definition of happiness is progress. That's it.
Yep.
If you're a billionaire and you see them all the time and their perception is money and they go down and lose $100 million, you think, well, they still are worth $900 million. And a lot of them are depressed. We've seen suicides because their association is just to that money for progress rather than who they are as human beings. So if we're going to break it down here, we got 10 minutes. That's it. Less than 10 minutes. Success tips. Like, you hear it all the time. Like, what's the key to success? We talk about mindset. We talk about people getting into action. Are there any more specific words or details or anything like that that you would give to everybody?
Yeah. Stop hanging out with shitty people. You know who they are. The second that I said that, your brain automatically told you a name or two or three, didn't it? Yes or no? Yes, it did. I guarantee it. There are people that are a suck on your time, a suck on your life, a suck on your energy. There's nothing more important that you'll do than just eradicating shitty people from your life. People that are gossipers, they're drama. They have no drive. They have no vision. I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your sister or your brother or your mommy or your daddy. Like being around negative breeds negative. Being around gossip breeds gossip. Being around drama and a victim. How many of you know the victims? The victims, they just constantly complain and blame. Like, You can read all the books, you can have all the motivation, but you've got to get away from the wrong people and get in front of the right people. You have to spend time around people that are hungry, not just talking hungry, but hungry as fuck. You have to be around people with a lot of money and a lot of success. That literally will start to feed you. You'll start to see it. You'll start to embody some of their habits and their ways of speaking and their ways of being. And that will naturally become your second nature. Like you, if you hang out with all the chubby bunnies at the gym, guess what? You're a chubby bunny because there's a reason that all the ripped people hang out together. They're pushing each other. This guys, this isn't science. This isn't some magic fucking pill. There is no way around this either. Newsflash, you live in small town America, doesn't fucking matter. You live in Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, doesn't fucking matter. So long as you're hanging out with the wrong people, you're fucked. You're not going to grow. You're never going to go anywhere. Literally, you want to get around the ripped people? Go hang out with the ripped people. Find where they are. Hang out where they are. You want to become wealthy? Where are the wealthy people hanging out? Where are they dining? Where are they eating? One of my good friends, you know Mark Evans? You know Mark, my buddy Mark? My buddy Mark Evans shared this story years ago and it changed my life forever. He talked about the difference between flying first class and coach. Okay. We treat ourselves like coach, but we expect to be working with people in first class, right? We buy the cheapest ticket and sit in the back, but we want to sell the people sitting in the front. We want them to be our business partners. We want them to be our friends, but we're parked our asses in the back. I started realizing this. I was like, that's true. And so I started flying first class and it was like, it was a huge jump in price, but the mentality, you know, this, there's a big difference between flying first class and coach.
Huge.
And people go, well, that's just, especially that's good for you or da, 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 or these, all these other excuses. Fuck that. If you want to work with first class people, but treat yourself like coach, don't be surprised why they don't want to work with you. You want to work with first class people, fly in first class. You want to work with killers and become a killer. Like I went from flying first class to now flying private. The last 10 flights I've been on a private jet because I elevated my mind from first class to private. Like I don't want to be around other people. I don't want some dude at TSA grabbing my balls, telling me there's an anomaly in my scan. Fuck you. I don't want you touching me. Real talk, fellas, ladies, gents, whoever's listening to this, your mind elevates and you will follow. If you do not elevate the mindset of the people that you're around, do not be surprised that your mindset never elevates, nor does your bank account, nor do your relationships, nor does anything else in life.
I love it. And what I want you guys to do is I want you to go invite new people. Just connect with people. Don't do fake chit chat. You see it's someone's birthday, just be a good freaking human being. You see it's somebody's anniversary, right? You see something happen, you know, in their life, instead of commenting on it, just go to Messenger, or go to text, shoot them a message. And then from there as well, you got people that look, stop worrying if they're going to judge you because you want to make money on them. Everybody makes money off everybody. Would you rather have a corporation make money? So you have a good product or good business. All you're doing is selling them and take a look. And if they look great, if they're interested, great. If not, that's okay. But if you're not sure, they're not sure. The world loves boldness. It makes people curious. It's contagious. So I want you to be the bold version of you. And so thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to my podcast. If you're loving the podcast, make sure you go smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the latest and greatest podcasts. And as always, please go leave a 5-star rating review. And then the last thing I always want to mention to all that listen to podcasts is if you go to www.robsperry.com, I have tons of free content there to help you out to build your network marketing business.